You're listening to Higher Ed Social, episode 55. I'm Logan.
And I'm Jackie. And this week we talked with Eric Crumrine, who is the Director of Housing and Student Life over at the Boston Conservatory. We start talking a little geography because there's lots of schools in Ohio that are actually cities in other states, like Bowling Green, also known as Bowling Green, Kentucky, or Miami, as in Miami, Florida, but it's actually Miami University of Ohio.
So we spend a lot of time talking about Boston Conservatory, obviously because he works there, but mostly because Boston and Berklee College of Music are merging into one institution, which is really interesting because both schools are very similar to Belmont. So it's very cool for me to talk to another school that's full of music and music business and all of those kinds of fun things. Eric also reveals how students are handling that change and what life on campus is all about. We hope you enjoy this episode of Higher Ed Social, and we hope you'll go on to iTunes and give us a rating. Ratings are great. They help us find new listeners, and it lets us know what you think of the podcast. So please do that. Thanks.
I just got an email from higheredjobs.com that said, "You spoke, we listened. Higher Ed Jobs weekly agent is back." Ooh, weekly. I can't even handle it. I still get the emails from like old job searches. I don't know if you guys still get them, but I get them and it drives me insane because I keep forgetting to shut off the agents, but they keep coming. But it's fun to see what's up at different campuses.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how I found the job where I'm at currently. I just never turned off my Boston alerts, and it popped up one day.
Yeah. Isn't it fun? So are you from Boston? Like, did you grow up there? And
no, I'm from Ohio originally.
Ah. The job moved you there? Or?
Yeah. Well, so I did my undergrad at Bowling Green State University, and then I went to grad school at the University of Connecticut. And then made my way to Boston, just cause that's where there was a large job market. And so I kind of moved here looking for work.
Ah, that's daring because then you got buried in snow and you couldn't get out of it for 6 months, right?
Yep. Yeah. This winter has been weirdly like uneventful, which
yeah,
I'm just complaining, but it's just weird. Right. We've had like one good snow this whole winter.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We've had about one good snow too.
You're in Tennessee.
We got 8 inches. That's significant for here.
Not real.
It was gone in 2 days, though.
No, that's kind of how it's been. I mean, you're way further into the coast, Eric, than I am. But in New England, we haven't really had a crazy winter. Like, it's been really, really mild.
It's like you've had some sort of El Nino or something.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, it's supposed to be 70 degrees on Wednesday. So.
Yeah, right. I was, like, not emotionally and mentally prepared for today. Like, I saw the weather forecast that said 52 and potential rain, and I was like, what am I supposed to wear? Like, I'm not ready yet. like, I haven't mentally made the transition into, like, short-sleeve shirts. Like, it's very strange.
Yeah, winter's over here. It's supposed to be in the mid-70s for the next, like, 2 weeks.
Isn't that what winter is, though? Like, mid-70s?
No, not here. No. No, winter is like 20s and 30s during the day.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, I don't feel that bad. Well, welcome to the show. We talk about more than weather, I promise. Thanks for being on, Eric.
Of course.
So, why don't you go ahead? Obviously, we forget to do this in a lot of our shows very early in the episode. So now that I'm thinking about it, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. So my name is Eric Crumrine, and I'm the Director of Housing and Student Life over at the Boston Conservatory.
Cool. How long have you been there?
I've been there, but it'll be 2 years this summer.
Woo-hoo. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's really exciting. So did you, you said you did your undergrad. what is your, did you get a master's degree in higher education, student affairs?
Yep. Did the master's in higher ed student affairs. My nice. Undergrad degree is in English literature.
Interesting. That was actually going to be my next question, because we lately have found that people that end up in student affairs or any sort of higher education really don't really have a degree that's incredibly specifically targeted. So that's really interesting. What did you want to do with an English literature degree? Or did you just always want to go into higher ed?
No. So, I mean, I started off actually trying to get into musical theater and was unsuccessful in that endeavor. And so I made my way into trying to do some theater and then realized I liked working with students and potentially teaching. So I was looking at a high school like English arts degree. So I'd be able to teach English, drama, journalism, those fun things. And then found student affairs and realized, sorry, my cat is making lots of noise.
That's okay. We're a cat friendly podcast.
Yes, we are.
I ended up doing English. I ended up doing the English degree as a way to kind of finish out my undergrad without having to do student teaching, because I realized I wanted to get into higher ed and I didn't want to student teach.
Way to get around that.
They assigned me a seventh grade English classroom, and I said, no, thank you. I think I'm all set.
I'm good. Thanks so much. I appreciate the offer, but I'm going to pass.
Yeah. Well, so the English degree was just a nice way to kind of finish out the undergrad experience to get ready for grad school.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you went right to grad school then?
Yep. I graduated from Bowling Green, and then that following fall, I went to UConn for 2 years.
Cool.
Yeah. Bowling Green's not too far from here.
No, not too far.
Nope.
I remember looking at Bowling Green for my undergrad. I don't remember if I actually applied. I obviously did not attend.
They have museums of Corvettes there.
Really?
Yes. They have sinkholes in them, and they eat the Corvettes.
Oh, that's
Bowling Green, Kentucky, or Bowling Green, Ohio?
I have no idea. Aren't they the same thing?
No.
No. No, because there is Bowling Green, Kentucky, which has a Bowling Green, I think Bowling Green State University in it.
Yeah.
Because it gets confusing in the Ohio-Kentucky area, because you say Bowling Green and people actually will clarify.
So why does Ohio have so many universities that have confusing names, like Miami, University of Miami?
That is true. Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
And then there's Ohio State and the Ohio State, right?
No, well, yeah, Ohio State, the Ohio State is all the same. And then there's Ohio University.
That's the difference. They're green and white, right?
Yes.
Something?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, they're not the people that spell out Ohio with their arms. They're the other people.
Right. That's OSU in good old Columbus, where they do the spelling all about out of all that, and then the marching band does their scripted Ohio. Yes. So.
Yes, I remember that now. Yeah, see, I went to a state school, but it was the only one called Geneseo. It wasn't confusing. It was just Geneseo.
Belmont, there's another Belmont. There's Belmont Abbey. We get confused sometimes. It's funny, one year when we made it to the NCAA tournament, they literally tweeted out, "We're not that Belmont."
Really?
Yes.
That's hilarious.
And it was preemptive. It was a preemptive tweet. They were like, "We saw yes, Belmont just won the NCAA tournament, but we're not that Belmont." Something along that. They're in Charlotte, North Carolina. So they're a Catholic.
I feel like there's a school. April Fool's opportunity there. Both at Bowling Green and at Belmont.
Could be.
I feel like you could really take advantage of that. You're welcome in advance. When that joke gets taken, you're welcome in advance.
Sure.
I did see, who was it? University of Florida and University of Wisconsin. They traded Instagram accounts.
Yes, they did.
It was pretty funny. I thought that was cool.
It was pretty neat. It was pretty funny because they were showing the differences in, climate. One was very Florida and one was very, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Have something to do with the fact that, the guy who runs social media, who's been on this show before, from at Florida is from Wisconsin. Maybe.
That is true. Know. Yes. That is Todd Sanders, for anyone that was looking to listen to that episode.
Yeah, it's episode one.
It's a good one. Episode one. Mm-hmm. So, Eric, how's it going? What's up? How's campus life? We're, like, in the middle of the semester, so I feel like I can't be like, how's finals? Or, like, well, I guess spring break is coming up.
We're already on spring break.
Spring break
is this week for us.
Ooh, yeah. God. It worked. My spring break is next week, which is nice because I'll be going to NASPA.
Oh, cool.
Over in Indianapolis, so I'll be there and not having to miss like a ton of actual work because it's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean we're in the midst of the semester. It's awards time. It's time for all of those fun things to come around, senior speakers and all of that. But I was mentioning a little bit as we were kind of chatting before we started recording that currently my institution is going through a merger, which is kind of exciting. So the Boston Conservatory is in the final like stages of merging with Berklee College of Music.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, how do you feel? I think that's cool, but I'm not on either of those campuses. So how does it feel?
I know those schools very well.
Yeah.
No, it's I think you know one of the big reasons for all of it happening was a lot of the programs that both of our schools offer that kind of work well together. So we are very classic conservatory training when it comes to music, when it comes to opera, when it comes to our theater, and we've got a world-renowned dance program here. And then Berklee has their vocal folks go on, you know, like Esperanza Spalding, who went on to win a Grammy a few years ago. They're a bit more, I don't even know what the right word I'm looking for is, but like I said, I think contemporary is probably the best phrasing for that. But they, you know, they have a lot of programs around like sound design, engineering, and music business, which are programs we don't offer. They really would like to be able to have some opportunities with our musical theater department. So a lot of cross-curricular opportunities. And I mean, for folks who aren't in Boston and don't know kind of the campuses, we literally share like spaces. Like our cafeteria is in their building. And when you look down like the street that we're on, it's, you know, one of our buildings, one of their buildings, one of our buildings. Like, so we're literally like in each other's footprints.
That's interesting. I didn't realize the campuses were overlapping like that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, so it's, and I think, you know, the students seem to be very excited. There's a lot of cool opportunities. They've already started working on programs together, so they started a kind of collaborative group called Bridge the Gap, literally trying to bridge the gap between the two schools. So they've done, like, a Michael Jackson tribute night where they had a band playing, and they did the Thriller dance. They've got an orchestra group that's working together to do just recording. Actually, I think they're recording next week, and they're doing some, like, new music. So people have composed music and want it recorded, and this group of Berklee and BoCo students are going to spend 3 hours in a recording studio and record all of it.
Wow. That's really cool. That's exciting that the students are excited and not against it, you know?
Yeah, no, they've been really on board with a lot of it. Like I said, I mean, they were the ones that came up with the Bridge the Gap group before we even suggested that our two student governments start, like, talking.
Right.
Because I advised them. So I was like, hey, student government president, you should go talk to the Berklee student government president. And she's like, oh, we go way back. We've been meeting biweekly since like September. We've got plans. They've been really, really excited about it. I think had there been a lot more resistance, that it might have looked differently. But they quickly got on board with stuff.
That's good. That's great for them. I feel like the transition there, I'm just thinking from like an admissions angle or like a graduation, like degree granting angle, has got to be like pretty bumpy though, if you're doing all that.
Yeah. And I know for students that are at the conservatory they've set some things in stone that for a number of years, it will be the Boston Conservatory at Berklee. So folks that go through our programs will still walk out with the conservatory name on their degree.
Yes.
Oh, okay, that's a good transition then for them, instead of just like surprise, like you're getting this completely different degree than you thought you were getting.
Right. Welcome. It's the fall, and you're all students at this institution you didn't sign up for.
Here's your new sweatshirt. Ha ha. Like.
Well, music and music and music business degrees are kind of different in a lot of ways, because they're, I mean, it's like one's like a Bachelor of Music, or in their case, it's not a Bachelor of Music. What is it? I forgot. At the conservatories. Is it a Bachelor of Music?
It's a Bachelor of Music. Okay. Our theater students get a Bachelor of Fine Arts.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I was wondering if it was one or the other. I know at Belmont, ours is a Bachelor of Music. The theater and art and all those fun things are fine arts degrees, or a Bachelor of Arts, depending on what you want to do. We offer both. And our music business program is a Bachelor of Business Administration, so...
Yeah, and I don't know offhand what the Berklee programs all are. I just know that there's a lot of and one of the nice things a lot of our students that have all been working together is that they'll get, you know, some sound engineers, some production engineers working with our students to kind of to put on some of the big productions. They're working on some sort of Beyonce something right now, which they're really excited about.
From a school that has like
both of those programs together, it's going to be really awesome. You guys are going to have a lot of fun and interesting ways of interacting with each other. Yeah, I'm at Belmont University. So,
okay.
If you didn't notice.
So we actually have very similar programs to both of you. So we're not an actual conservatory though. We're liberal arts. So you're going to have more of a liberal arts thing than a conservatory thing.
Right.
So more general ed, and less, you know, conservatory, but, it's a different kind of major for a different kind of student. So, it's definitely cool. Definitely hear a lot from Berklee. They have a lot of similar programs to us. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. Hear about you guys a little bit too. So it's pretty cool that you guys are merging. My wife does music admissions for Belmont, and we were actually discussing it a few weeks ago. So it's pretty cool.
When is, and you might have mentioned this, when is the merger going to be complete? Is it this year?
Yeah, so I think the plan has been that, you know, I think a number of things will remain the same for the fall, but they are looking to try and figure out, like, what kinds of things can we quickly kind of come together and start working as one unit on. What all that looks like is still kind of being flushed out through a number of other folks that I'm not really working at the table so much, because I have a lot of other, I have a few other things to do in my day to day. But they're working on trying to figure out, you know, can we get our entire campus on like one wireless network? Can we get, you know, like what does financial aid, some of those things look like?
Right.
Like our admissions for our three programs here will remain their own entity, but how can we partner with, you know, where Berklee does auditions or where Berklee has some partnerships set up to try and recruit different types of students that are looking for that conservatory experience.
Right. Wow. There's so many pieces. Like, holy cow. Like, I didn't even think about financial aid or like your admission, like how do you adopt a new admissions process, especially considering you have like audition based and all of those types of things. Like that's a lot of pieces that have to shift around. What do you think that means for like your department? Are you teaming up?
No, I mean, and I think at this point, a lot of that is still kind of being figured out, you know, in the super long term, you know, the idea would be trying to figure out ways to make everything kind of work together. I think in the meantime is where we're still kind of exploring that. It's just a matter of, you know, how can we make sure that the student experience isn't super impacted in their kind of day to day? So we don't want them to have to notice or feel any of that merging strain, you know, whatever that might look like. Right. You know, kind of how does their life continue on normally here?
If anything, you want them to feel the enhancement, like the
right.
You know,
right.
How much better it'll be that the two will be together.
Right, and it sounds like that's happening. I mean, if they're positively responding to, with like Bridge the Gap and like that stuff, it sounds like they're going to really jump into that. At least it sounds like it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see what it looks like in the fall and like how that, what all that looks like and how they can kind of continue to build on that. But they're, like I said, they're super stoked about a lot of the stuff that's going on.
That's really exciting. Wow. Talk about like, hey, what's going on your campus? Like, oh, you know, just a huge shift. Like a huge record, like history making shift. That's so exciting. that's really cool. I wish I had something. I mean, not that we don't have anything cool going on at Skidmore, but like, I feel like I can't follow up. Like, I don't have anything like to talk about. Like, oh, well, you know, yeah, got some new food in the cafeteria today. So that was good. Yay.
Super fun. I feel like sometimes it's okay that you're just like, you know what? Everything's going as planned.
That is true. Like,
things are fine.
For a lot of schools, it's not that good. So that's sometimes true. Sometimes, you know, keeping the status quo and moving from year to year without incidents, really good.
Yeah, that is a good point. I guess I can't complain. What have we done recently? I'm excited. I successfully recorded the first episode of Skidmore's podcast. So I'm excited about that, which will be released soon, I'm sure. And once it is, I will talk about it because right now it's not live. But that was an experience, and it's a move that, I don't know, our department gets to be real fun and creative all the time and just like try stuff. So I'm like, let's try this out. So it's been really fun, at least so far. We'll see if we can sustain the energy, but so far it's been good.
I'm sure we'll talk about it.
Well, once I have an episode to say like, yeah, it's up. Cause I feel like if I like talk it up too much and then it all of a sudden like falls flat for some reason and doesn't get launched, I like, you know, you can't build up the expectation too high. So I got to set the bar low.
I mean, right now for me, my life has been a big fundraising campaign. So yay.
Oh, what's going on? Everyone's in a fundraising campaign, I feel like. Except probably you, Eric, since you have some other stuff going on campus. It's a little more important.
I mean, they've still been, because we're the conservatory is actually, this coming year, is our 150th anniversary.
Well, I mean, I mean, that's kind of part of roles in ours. This is our 125th anniversary, so our quasquicentennial. Yours is the sesquicentennial.
Yes. But
that's so many things happening on your campus at the same time. Oh, my God. What timing? Like, not that it's the worst decision, but I feel like, hey, like, maybe we should not try to celebrate our 150th and also merge with another campus at the same time.
Well, I mean, like I said, I think the idea is that there's a lot of identity maintained. You know, the fact that people will still be taking conservatory classes. It's not like our buildings and any of our stuff is going anywhere. So it'll still, like I said, feel the same for a period of time. But yeah, they're planning on all the 150th stuff. It's going to be a big adventure of events and all kinds of things. I'm interested to see what the big like main stage productions will be next year for that.
Yeah.
Cause we do, I mean, one of the perks of being at a conservatory with a musical theater program is like, I saw Spring Awakening this weekend. Put on by like our students at a really, really high quality performance.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. I've seen so many shows here that I'm like, I've never heard of the show before. I have no idea what's going on, but I'm going to go see it. Cause why not?
Cause it's probably going to be great. Yeah.
Right. Spring Awakening being one, they did a really old, an older musical called Three Penny Opera, in the fall, which I'd never heard of, but it was fun. I'm trying to remember what we did last year. We did, they did a Pajama Game.
Right.
Seen it.
There you go. They did in the fall. They did On the Town, which is currently on Broadway, or was on Broadway.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, ours this time, our musical theater one is The Addams Family, which I didn't even know that was a musical theater.
That's a musical.
Thing. Yep. And before that, last year was Peter Pan, and the year before that was Les Misérables. We're actually the first. We're the first college to get that one, and they did an amazing job. Like,
yeah, I think they were trying to do that here for this year, but I think there were some issues with the tour and then rights.
Because super picky.
I've learned all about musical theater rights and shows. Because a lot of our student groups like to put on like actual productions of shows,
right?
So we did. They did Shrek the Musical in the fall.
That's awesome.
Which was the group that puts that on does, it's all fundraising for Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
So raised, I want to say it was somewhere in like the $1,500 range of money for the Broadway Cares.
That's cool.
That's really cool. So are most of your student like clubs and organizations on campus kind of music and theater based just because those are the types of students you're attracting, or Is it not because the students are already enrolled in programs?
No, actually, a lot of them tend to be musical, especially musical, like musical and theater, like musical theater related, because a lot of our students are, we have so many students on our campus, and a lot of them are looking for performance opportunities. And a lot of them are also looking for directing opportunities and, you know, production opportunities. So they, I'm trying to think, this past year we've had, we did Shrek the Musical, we did Ghost. There is a, we've had two new works put on already this year. I think there's another one coming up. And then we've got our big annual drag show that will go up in April, which also, again, benefits the Broadway Cares. And then we just did Vagina Monologues last weekend.
Our campus does, well, Geneseo, my alma mater, I say our like I work there. My alma mater would put on the Vagina Monologues, and that was always really, really exciting to see, because it was, obviously I didn't go to a music and theater based school, to see those people come out, and even people that had no acting experience and just wanted to try it out, like, did it. It was really cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. And that was, for us, actually, that was the nice thing about the monologues, doing them. It was the first time we'd done them. And because it was such a kind of, in their estimation, it was more of a low stakes experience, just because of the way the show's done. It's not meant to be a big production.
Right.
We actually had a handful of folks that weren't theater majors that came out for the show, and kind of got their debut, you know, in a production, which they really had a lot of fun with.
Good for them. That's so cool. That's fun, especially when you're at like very music and theater based school, to like be able to have that opportunity through clubs. That's really cool. Good for them. You don't have that, Logan? You're not putting on Vagina Monologues? I was waiting for you to be like, oh yeah, Belmont does that too.
Nope. I think we did.
You are not exclusively a music school.
Right. But, you know, Belmont is a, I mean, we're a big music school. Our music school and our music business program are really, really huge. But that's a lot because, you know, we're in Nashville, so that has a lot to do with that. We have a nice commercial music program that's really big. So there's lots of cool stuff happening at Belmont. I don't know. I'm letting him brag. He's the guest.
Well, Logan tends to go on rants.
Like anything else that's gone on this past year, but the students, like I said, are, especially a lot of our theater students, they love the chance to put on new shows. We've had a student who put on like a one-person show. It was supposed to, I didn't get a chance to see it, unfortunately. It was over the course of a weekend when a lot was going on, but it was this very experimental theater. Like, I'm going to do this thing with like projections, and he came out in a whole coast, like host of characters. Sometimes in drag, sometimes not. But the students were really responsive to it and said it was a really, really great, performance. So it's interesting to see the things that they come up with.
I feel like you probably just have a show to see every single night of the week, like during the semester.
And all of our music divisions and all of our other folks, like I went, one of my RAs is a tuba performer. So he's getting his Bachelor of Music in tuba performance, and he had his junior recital and invited a whole pile of us to go watch him. And it was literally just him and a pianist doing really awesome numbers. And, you know, it's one of those things you forget, like, you just sit in the room and you're like, I don't get to see you in your normal kind of habitat as a musician. And this is really fascinating. And I didn't, you know, he's making sounds come out of the tuba that I didn't know were possible.
Right.
You know, which was just kind of a really fun thing to go and see.
Right.
There's recitals, there's performances, there's concerts pretty much every night of the week if I wanted to go see something on campus.
Yep.
Super, super fun. Especially because it's all your students. Like, lots of schools will have programming like that where there's something going on all the time, but it's not always the students. It's sometimes people are being brought in, or they're like showing a movie or whatever, which there's nothing wrong with that. But to think about, like, wow, you have so many talented students on your campus that can share their talent like that.
It can be a little overwhelming sometimes.
I would imagine. I mean, honestly, if you're trying to schedule something, it's like, there's always going to be a conflict.
Especially since there are limited spaces on campus, performance spaces. So,
yep.
That's yeah, how things like that tend to go.
Yeah. Huh. Well, that's really, really exciting. Cool. Skidmore has a stereotype of being like an art and music school, but I mean, nowhere near your caliber, just in terms of I don't want to say the quality, but the quantity of opportunities in music and theater. Our students are great at what they do, to be able to see all these art exhibits and musical theater performances, but I definitely can't fill every night of the week with a Skidmore performance, so that's kind of cool.
I kind of gave up on going to, I usually go to at least 3 or 4 a year. I usually go to one of the musical theater ones. I usually go to at least 2 big concerts, one orchestral and one like one of the big shows that we do, like Christmas at Belmont or something like that. And occasionally when I have a student that I know, I'll go to their senior recital or something or other like that. So it's a lot of fun. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think right now I probably end up doing like 5 or 6 things per semester.
Right.
Only just because we'll do 2 theater things. There's usually a dance or 2 performance, and then just kind of music performances. And then from there it's my student groups that are doing the shows. And as the kind of student org advisor person, I'm going to the drag show for their dress rehearsal to make sure that like everything's ready, things look good. Sitting in on some of the cabarets that they do. We've got, they did one in the fall, and they've got another one in the spring. So in the fall they did a show called Miscast,
right?
Where it's, all of these, numbers that are done by, women's numbers that are done by men, men's numbers done by women. They actually did a really fun one that was, it was 2 numbers, one from La Cage aux Folles and one from Kinky Boots, that are normally sung by drag queens that they had performing, which was just fun. And it was interspliced with, I want to say, I Will Survive. It was all very fun.
Must have been and, fun. And that's wacky. Fun.
And then in the spring, they do a show called Post Secret, where it's the website Post Secret.
Yep.
And they will do personal stories. So they'll have a secret up on the background that looks like they'll find one on the website that matches something that they've experienced. And they'll tell their own story and then they'll perform a song in relation to it. And they range from, I'm trying to think last year, the first woman who started off did it with a song called, it was like Everyone Sleeps With Everyone, All My Friends Are Whores. And it was this big number about, her web of friends and how everyone's connected and who slept with who, and and it was light and fun. It was a good way to start, and then it segued into, we had a student who talked about domestic abuse as a child, and sang Pink's Family Portrait, and kind of put it in that context. You're just sitting there like I'm a sobbing mess. Like I'm
of course.
At the end, you're just like I can't.
Can't do this.
So much raw emotion in a room right now. Yep.
Oh my gosh. That's a really cool show, like a concept of a show.
Yeah. And again, and they're part of that group that does and they do fundraising. I think last year they fundraised for the Trevor Project. So they do a lot of those shows are all charity shows that they'll raise money for a cause of some sort. And they usually bring in a decent chunk of money that we're able to send off to a group. Cause they'll do 2 or 3 performances in a space that holds, 100, 150 people. And they'll usually sell the show.
Right.
So.
Do you find a lot of people from like the surrounding community are coming onto campus to watch these shows, or is it all community, like campus members?
The bigger shows that we do, like Spring Awakening this past weekend, things that are on like what we call like our main stage. Yes. For the student productions, not as many, you might get some family members that come down. Like we have family members that will come down to watch the drag show every year. Or some of the freshmen this year that got cast in one of my student groups or productions, like the family, some of the families came into town because it was their chance to like see them perform, which was really cool. But you don't get as much community at some of the smaller stuff. That tends to be our students.
Yeah, I guess that would make sense. You are in like a very big bustling city versus like being in a small town community.
Right.
So that's interesting. That's cool. That's really cool. And so you have two like main stage productions a semester or more than that?
So there's two like theater main stage productions. And then also on the main stage, you'll get, we do, in the spring, there's two dance shows that go up there. And then the, like some of our ensembles and orchestras will play on the main stage as well. So, and then, oh, and I'm forgetting the operas. We've got, they're doing the Marriage of Figaro coming up.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, in terms of a housing structure here, I have my RAs and then I have a grad residence director, and the grad residence director is a Boston Conservatory student, and he's currently getting a master. He's done his master's and he's here for an additional certification in opera, and he's actually playing the role of Figaro. I'm excited to go see him perform and actually see like the full show.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Wow, good for him.
Well, I know we're having fun, but we're kind of out of time.
Sing the outro, Logan.
Oh, sing in the opera. Outro. I'm not
as an opera. What would you call, what's a person that does opera? An operist? An opera singer?
Go with opera singer. That sounds good.
I feel like operist is like a word I just made up, and people are probably laughing at me. But whatever, guys, it's fine.
Go back to your science and research university.
Yes. Co-numbers.
So thanks, Eric, for joining us this week. Head down to higher-ed.social and get links to the things we talked about today, and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. If you like the show, please consider giving us a review. Reviews are great. They get us higher up in the rankings so that people actually see the podcast and we get more listeners. So please, please, please review us. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter as well. Twitter's a great place to get a hold of us. You can talk to us at HES
Podcast. Where we met Eric.
That is where we met Eric. So once again, if you listen to the show and you tweet us on Twitter, you'll probably be on the show. So once again, thanks, Eric.
Thank you, guys.
And have a great day. Or whatever time you listen to the show.
You should always just end it with thanks. You don't have to say, like, have a great whatever time it is.